welcome to the What the Fuck TV podcast, the podcast that shines a light on those TV shows that makes you say, "What the fuck? How good was that episode?" We've been on a hiatus on quite some time now, but today I'm back with a very special episode. Firstly, if you're a frequent listener, today's episode will not be done in Swedish. I have a very special guest who came in and did an interview with me regarding his work in general, but mostly in regards to the new HBO series The Night Of. I am, of course, speaking of the incredibly talented rock artist and composer Jeff Russo. At the time of the recording, we were not planning on releasing this as a podcast episode, but since we had such a good time and the result was an article in Swedish only, we decided to release the interview for international listeners to have a chance to get in on the action. With that said, As I start the recording, you will at times hear us referring to things we spoke about before the actual interview began. I hope this is not too much of a problem. Well, okay then, let's get Jeff on the line. So how and when did you first get into music?
Music, well, I've been playing in a band for a very, very long time. We're actually celebrating the 20th anniversary of our first album this year. And what city are you in?
I'm in a city called Norrköping. It's about 2 hours south of Stockholm.
Oh, okay. So, well, we've played in Stockholm.
Yeah.
And it's been quite a while since we played in Stockholm, but I've been in music since I was 17, so it's a long time. And I got into it by, you know, starting a band and writing songs and playing our songs and going on tour and making records. That's how I got into music in general.
Yeah, I see. My wife isn't into movies and TV shows like I am, so she didn't know who I was going to speak with at all.
Right.
But then I heard her humming one of your the Tonic songs, and I said, "Well, I'm actually going to speak with him," and she went, "Oh, wow, that's great."
that's very funny.
So, yeah, it was. So she's not really into the composing kind of music,
right. film and TV music.
Yeah,
she's more into pop music, popular music, yeah. Or rock. Or whatever, right?
Yeah, I'm the complete opposite. So,
right,
myself.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
and I get to straddle sort of both sides of that coin.
Yeah. Could you describe the transition you made from being primarily a part of the successful band Tonic to where you are now, the go-to guy of quality TV music?
Well, you know, it's interesting. In 2006, we decided to take a break from the band. Like, yeah. We just decided we're all going to sort of do some other stuff. And Emerson, who's the singer, decided he wanted to make a solo record.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I thought a lot about it. And I thought, oh, at one point I started writing some songs, maybe for a solo record. I started producing some records. And then a really good friend of mine, her name is Wendy Melvoin, of the duo Wendy and Lisa. I don't know if you know who they are, but they also have been doing film and television music for a long time. Not to mention they were Wendy and Lisa from The Revolution and Prince and The Revolution.
Yeah, yeah.
So my wife was really good friends, or is really good friends with Wendy, and I became very good friends with Wendy. And we were talking one day, and she said, "You know, why don't you come down to the studio and hang out while we're working on one of our episodes?" And at the time, they were working on a show called Crossing Jordan from mm-hmm. a long while ago. And I said, "Okay." So I did, and I saw them working and writing music to this story, and I thought, wow, that seems like really cool, really great to like try to help tell a story from a completely different perspective, you know, and from a musical perspective and not a lyrical perspective. Yeah. And I went to work for them for about a year, writing music for them and doing a bunch of editing and doing a bunch of assisting and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's when I sort of transitioned to wanting to do that. Not completely transitioned, because I continued to work with my band, and I still do, but I really made a concerted effort to focus on writing that kind of music.
Yeah.
And then I just started getting jobs.
Yeah, we're really glad that you did do that, for sure.
Thank you.
Whenever you do find yourself with some time on your hand, for example, when you sit down and watch Shawshank Redemption, or some TV series that you're not a part of yourself, are you able to shut the composing brain off? Or do you always find yourself applauding a great theme or a bridge and start thinking about how you could merge it into something you're working on at the time?
That's a good question. And unfortunately, it's difficult to turn that part of my brain off.
So, I could imagine.
When I watch TV, it's rare that I can watch and totally disengage from focusing on what's the score doing right there? Why did he do that? Or, yeah, wow, that's really great. I wish I would have thought about doing that in this other thing. So it's difficult. I can do it. There's certain times when I'm watching something and I totally get caught up in the story and I'm gone. Like, I don't think about the music anymore.
Yeah.
That's rare. It has to be a really, really great it has to be really great. And it doesn't happen a lot. Especially when I'm going to see something where I know who the composer is, not necessarily personally, but I know who it is, and I want to see it because I want to hear what they did,
yeah,
in that movie. You know, like, I really wanted to see Bridge of Spies because I wanted to hear what Tom Newman did to what should have been a John Williams score, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting to me. But mainly, like, when I take my kids to see a movie, and it's like, I don't know, whatever movie it is,
yeah,
I normally pull myself out of it. I can normally say, oh, I'm not going to listen to the score, and I just sort of get into the movie. But it's rare. It is rare.
Yeah, I could imagine it being your actual day job. And for me, I watch tons of TV, and I have begun to wonder why didn't they do that like they did in the other show. I didn't like that, and I'm not even working on it at the level that you are, and I'm struggling at times, so
right.
So I could imagine you're having troubles. I've read somewhere that you are self-taught. So where do you find your inspiration? Does it all come from within, or do you get little something there and little something there?
Well, you know, I think that everybody wears their influences on their sleeve. Like, I love to listen to music, and listening to music is very inspiring. So inspiration for anything in particular can come from anywhere and anything. It can come from the thing you're watching, or it can come from a thought, or it can come from seeing a tree, it can come from listening to a piece of music, or seeing a picture, or anything. And I think that my inspiration sort of comes from many, many different places all the time.
Yeah.
Mainly from within, but, you know, that's from within as affected by external sources.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. When you started writing the music for Fargo, which I really, really do love, I believe I wrote a little something about it in my first email to you. I hold the first season of Fargo, and also the second season of The Leftovers as my top two seasons ever. So I really and both of them are really the music really does play a character of its own.
Thank you.
And I have heard that you actually wrote a lot of the music before you ever shot a single frame.
Yeah, for season one and for season two, you know, what happens is I get together with Noah, who's the creator of the show, and he sends me a script or two, and we talk about, like, what feeling we're trying to get and what he's really looking for. And then I sort of set off on my own and write for a good, I don't know, 3 weeks. And for the first season, I wrote about an hour's worth of music. For the second season, I wrote like a little less than an hour's worth of music. And then there is a jumping off point for the filmmaker to have something to inspire that part of it. So it's like, it's a very symbiotic relationship where one informs the other, which informs the other. So, you know, the story informs the music and the music informs the story. And when you can do that, that's what can make television even better than we all think. You know, I've done television shows where they hand me an episode and I have to have a score done in 4 days. And you know, that can be good. I mean, it is what's going to be, but yeah, it isn't going to be cinematic. It's not going to be this important, integral part of the storytelling mechanism.
Yeah.
Like you said, you feel like the music has a real voice and is a real character. I feel the same way about The Leftovers, you know, where the music, however subtle, and it is subtle in that show because they use that theme over and over and over again to the point where it becomes like you expect it, like you expect to see a certain character.
Yeah.
It's very interesting how they did that.
That little piece of piano music that they bring in every time things are really, really looking bad for them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we tried to do like a similar type of thing with Fargo, which is really be thematic, you know, and like really always break. In the first season, it was the sleigh bells, and the sound of the washing machine that I sort of incorporated into the score. And in the second season, it was this typewriter sound that I incorporated into the score. And
I think there is one of the songs on Spotify is actually called Death by a Typewriter, right?
Death by Typewriter.
Yeah, exactly. I love that one.
and you know, so I feel like that's the way to really conjoin the narrative and the music, you know, for it to really play an important role.
How do your creative process look on the night off compared to the one you had on Fargo?
Well, it's totally different, which is a very strange thing. So what happened was the filmmaker, his name is Steve Zalian.
Mm-hmm.
We had a few meetings about the show, and he said, well, I'm going to send you all 8 episodes. Watch them all, and then tell me what you think.
Oh, all right.
He did that, and I watched them all, and I called him up, and I was like, I think I know what I'm doing. I think I know what I need to do. And then I wrote the music for all 8 episodes all at once.
Oh.
So all in one big shot. Like, it was, you know, and then I sent it all to him, and then he made notes and changes, and then I did all of it again, you know, like an entire notes pad. And then we were done. Then we recorded the score with the orchestra, and then it was done. The first thing I wrote for the night of, and it worked the same way for Fargo, was I decided to just sit down and write a theme, write the theme for the show. So what happened was, in Fargo, I wrote that main theme, and in the night of, I did the same thing. I wrote the main title theme. And my original sketch of it was a little different than what ended up in the show, but it's very similar. My original sketch had piano in it, and we pulled the piano out for the main title sequence.
Mm-hmm.
But as you watch the rest of the season, you'll hear that theme come back with the piano.
Yeah. As I watched the first episode, which I really did like, and that's actually how you and I got in touch. You saw my tweet about the show, and I've after that watched it again before this interview to really get down to the music of the show, and there's big parts with no music at all, and you can hear the light buzzing and the water dripping and stuff like that. But as Riz sits in his cell and John walks past him, you could hear that little piece of piano music. And that was really the first time in a long time during that episode that you were able to breathe at all.
Right.
You had been holding your breath until that point, and then the music is gone again for that final part when the dad walks out on the street with the cat.
And then it's silent. Silent for the cat.
Yeah, and then the main score is back.
Yeah. Then the main theme comes back. There was a very purposeful meaning to that, and there are in the first episode there's like five main pieces of score I think in the whole episode, but you hear that opening theme, mm-hmm. which is sort of a really powerful sound, like, and with all those images, and you're drawn in, and then you don't hear another note of music for 27 minutes.
Yeah.
So there's 27 minutes go by before you ever hear another piece of music, and what you're saying is really the reason why we did that, which is it doesn't allow you to have a catharsis yet. Like, you don't feel that moment of emotional release, because we're trying to really keep the tension on the rope tight, you know, and the only way to do that is not to allow there to be any emotional release, and music does that. Music is the emotional release.
Absolutely.
And it happens, and you're like, ah.
Yeah, and it goes back to what you were describing earlier about getting lost while watching something, and that actually did happen for me during this episode, and it is rare to get completely lost when you watch something. And I know you have to be done soon, so I'll get right to the last couple of questions. Now, being both an Emmy-nominated composer and a Grammy-nominated artist, how do you land new gigs? Do they just get thrown at you, or do you have to go on auditions or send demos?
I think it all depends. Like, sometimes, you know, people inquire, like, oh, I really loved the score to Fargo, and we'd love to talk to Jeff about maybe doing stuff for this project or this film. And then other times it's like I hear about a project and I'm really interested in it, and I make a phone call to my agent and I say, hey, I want to see what's going on with this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, occasionally they'll be like, well, send us some a reel of music, or, you know, and sometimes I'll go as far as to write a demo and try to get in that way. Like,
it depends.
It really all depends. Sometimes, like, I'm doing a show for Sci-Fi Network right now, and it's a 6-episode miniseries, and the producer literally called me on the phone and said, I don't know that we can make this work because I don't know what our budget is, but I want you to do this. Will you read the script? I read the script and I loved it. And I was like, I got to do this. And so sometimes it does just fall into my lap. And sometimes it's like a struggle, a fight. I gotta get this gig. I really want this gig. I'm going to do whatever I can to get this gig. And it's like, you know, it's whatever it is. It depends on how badly somebody wants it or not. It's not it's not worth doing if you're not, if it's not worth going after, you know what I mean?
Of course. So how did you get the night off?
Well, okay, so that's an interesting thing. My agent called me and said that he had heard that there was the show on HBO that was being done, and they were temping with some of my music from Fargo.
Oh, really?
And I said, oh, well, that's interesting. Tell me about it. And he told me it was Steve Zaillian. And the moment he said it was Steve Zaillian, I was like, what do I have to do to get this job? Because I want to work with that guy. I mean, that's the guy who wrote Schindler's List and Moneyball and Awakenings and directed Searching for Bobby Fischer. This is some of the greatest films in my life, you know, watching these films. So I went after it. I, you know, started calling people and was like, what do I need to do? What kind of music do I'm going to write? I'll do whatever. And then eventually had a meeting with Steve and we hit it off, and they hired me. So it's just one of those things.
Great. Is there still a specific genre that you would like to explore more than others that you haven't done? I listened to Tuck. And that was really different from Fargo and other things you've done. Is there still something if you hear someone is making a specific kind of thing that you would like to write music?
I have wanted to and have yet to do a straight dramatic science fiction show or movie, sci-fi. And, you know, because I like that kind of narrative. I really like the way fantasy sci-fi can be told, and what it leaves the score to be anything. Like it can, it's never like, you know, with drama, you know what you know the kinds of motifs you're gonna do or you can do. But with sci-fi, it's like all bets are off. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested in trying something like that. I haven't done that.
Battlestar Galactica had one of those.
Right, and in Battlestar Galactica, the really interesting part about that was, you know, he used all these Middle Eastern instruments, which I don't know that that makes any narrative sense, but it worked, and it sounded really good, right?
Yeah.
It didn't take place in the Middle East. It didn't, but there was still this Middle Eastern, like, Duke was in it, and like all kinds of weird stuff. So I thought that was really interesting. Again, it's science fiction, so anything goes. You can make anything work.
That's great. Right. I have my final question, and you can make it fast since you need to leave. It goes back to the night of. As you said, there was a part where you wanted the viewers to really get hooked on it and not being able to breathe. Are this the kind of character the music will have as we move on with the series, or will it evolve to something different entirely?
I think as you watch each episode and get farther and farther down, what you'll realize is there's never really a release of that, because the fact is the kid is sitting in jail and he faces this trial for this murder. And well, when is that going to release? Well, probably at the very end, right?
Yeah.
Like when we find out, like, well, what happens? And that's not to say that it's going to be no music for the whole series, but we do use that as a device to help with mounting tension. And when I say that is we use the absence of music to help mount that tension. And we do the same thing in Fargo as well. It's like music is only as important as its silent counterpart, right? Mm-hmm, so. Mm-hmm. The more music you have, the less important the music is. The less music you have, the more important that entrance of music is. So we really try to use that in this show to really draw out and then release.
Yeah, and that maybe it's not always true, but truly quality TV shows usually or use less music, but but when they do, it's like they really deserve it. And a lot of broadcaster shows have music from the first second, and even during the credits at the end.
Wall to wall.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I know you have to leave. What's the next thing you're going to do, and where can we find more of your work?
Well, I'm currently working on a show called American Gothic, which currently airs here on CBS. But I am also beginning to work on a Marvel show for FX called Legion, which is somewhat of an X-Men spinoff.
I am really, really glad that you took your time to speak with me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, and have a good night.
Thanks. Thank you.